OTB AM with Gillette, proud supporters of Movember. Gentlemen, let's mow.
We're pretty excited about these games. It's reached this level where the cream is rising to the top, and we're seeing some of the greatest individual displays that we've ever seen.
Yeah, it's been brilliant for a championship that we didn't realise, you know, we didn't know whether it would go ahead or not. So it's fantastic. And I think, you know, like most people, I think now at this stage would, you know, agree that whilst, you know, health and safety has been so important, that for the nation, for something to look forward to every weekend, it has definitely been helpful to everyone. Starting, say, of a Monday or a Tuesday, you're looking forward to the game next weekend, or you're talking about the games last weekend, whether that's hurling or football. So I think it has went really, really well so far. Bar, I suppose, you know, unfortunately for Sligo, but I think we all knew things like that could have happened, and awfully a couple of weeks before that. But yeah, looking forward to this weekend, Ger. It's going to be brilliant. Like, we have the blockbuster of Galway versus Tipperary. That was, you know, two of the favourites for the All-Ireland, meeting in the All-Ireland quarter-final. Nobody knows where each of them are really at this stage. And then you have Water versus Clare. This is the kind of one, I think both counties would have been happy with the draw last Monday morning, because it gives both of them a great chance of getting to the All-Ireland semi-final.
Just briefly to talk about the situation in Clare, where Tony Kelly is hurling like at a magisterial level. Shane McGrath had a really interesting point on Monday night when he was talking with Joe. He said that this time of year, if Ballyhea are involved in club matches, he's always great. It's almost as if he has like a horse race. He likes the bottomless ground because he seems to float above it. Is that something you've ever experienced or seen anybody else, where there's a period of the year where everybody else is bogged down and somebody can kind of like ghost-like rise above them?
Yeah, well, I always thought it was nearly the bigger, stronger players, the more physical and fit players that used to come. As Shane McGrath said, it usually happens in the club championship, because they usually start around September, October. So the weather is still kind of nice, but the ground is soft and it's starting to get wet on that. And I always found it was the stronger players, the more physical players. They didn't have to be giants or anything, but they were physical. They were able to look after themselves regards winning their own ball, and then they could break the tackles. So, like, there was one man sticks out for me in Kilkenny. It was Alan Gagan for O'Loughlin's. He used to come into his own come club championship time, and he'd be absolutely brilliant on the wing, winning ball and soloing it through and passing it off to different guys. But say, we don't see it with the county, obviously, because it's always during the summer. It's more the National League. But Tony Kelly's one is a surprise man, and he's trying to get me head around it during the week, because he's a small player. You think that the fast grounds during the summer would suit him better. But I think what it is if you watch most of Tony Kelly's scores, they're where he makes a run, gets a hand pass, or makes a run, the ball kind of comes out and he wins a little bit of a break. So what I suggest to me, just looking back and trying to analyse it, is that because the ground has gone so soft now, and there's nobody is going to, you know, run 20 yards, pick up a ball, dance around a few lads and over the bar, you kind of win the ball and lay it off to the guy coming on your shoulder. And I'm wondering, is that why he's coming into his own at the moment? Now, that's only one aspect of it. Obviously, Brian Lowen, he is like, it's really, really important that a manager believes in you. And it looks like Lowen is after just giving him the freedom to go off and do what he wants, when he wants. And absolutely, you see all the interviews with him. He's praising him. He's telling the country how great he is. But also, they keep going back to the point that he's the last lad of training of a Friday night. He's the first lad to turn up. So it's not just that he dances around every weekend. He's brilliant all the time. So I think it's both the confidence he's getting from his manager and possibly the time of year suiting him, because his pass is coming out to him maybe. And like, if all the big names are gone, the John Conlins, Peter Duggins, Ger. So when they get the ball, their first instinct at the moment seems to be to give it to Tony, and like, he will deliver once he gets that ball.
Yeah, it's a cracking game. That Waterford against Clare throws in at 3:45, and Galway against Tip throws in at 1:15. To talk about one of the other themes that has emerged over, apart from Tony Kelly being, you know, absolutely lights out, sensational at the moment, the other thing that's happening is that class of 2008 is coming to the fore again. A bunch of 32-year-olds who are supposed to be kind of tailing off in their careers, but actually still some of the most important hurlers in the country.
They are, and you know, I was reading about them a couple of weeks ago, this class of 08. It's unbelievable the record they have, Ger. You know, like if Seamus Callanan, Joe Canning, TJ Reid, Patrick Horgan and Richie Hogan, I'd have him in the mix as well, because he's not a free taker, but it's his performances and his ability to, you know, resonate with the country is just huge. And these five guys, they've been unbelievable. Like I call them, are they the famous five, the fab five, the fantastic five? You could call them what you want. They're absolutely brilliant. What sticks out? Well, first of all, if you look at the stats, like I'm looking at them, Joe Canning, if you, there's no point in going through everything they've won, but if you take the majors, four club All-Irelands, Jer. Patrick Hall. Seven All-Irelands with Kilkenny, four All-Stars. Seamus Callanan, three All-Irelands, four All-Stars. Seven All-Irelands and four All-Stars. Like, it's unbelievable. If you go through the stats then, Jer, right? Top scorers, four out of five of them are in the top seven. Tommy, you have Joe Canning, two. Patrick Horgan, three. You have TJ and Seamus Callanan.
We're having trouble with your line
All-time
there, Tommy.
Appearances. Four out of the top five are in the top 18. So, Richie Hogan.
Tommy, we're having trouble with your line. We're going to call you back, right? So that's because it was getting to the good parts there where we were reveling in the genius of the 32-year-olds. Oh, and you've still got a bit of time. Yes, you're not quite 32.
not quite. Is that the peak? Is that what we're saying here? Well, the best year is yet to come.
Well, when you think about, and I'm going to make this point about Richie Hogan to Tommy when we get him back. That's somebody who had been spoken about. You know, is he going to get one last year? Is he going to get one last year? Is he going to get one last year? Because of the injuries that he'd suffered. And for him to come back and to have the moment that he had last weekend, I don't know if everybody has seen the kind of the schoolyard goal that he scored, but it was absolutely sensational. Like I don't even know, what is it? It's like there's loads of insouciance to think about doing that. But like the instinct really essentially is what it is. It's like I've hurled in tight spaces against bigger lads and I've been able to flick the ball and make them look silly. Like, it was Messi-esque. And, you know, at the same time, you're seeing Tony Kelly doing what he's doing. It's mad that in these conditions, because the weather was horrific last weekend, absolutely horrific. In these conditions, the lads are producing some of the best stuff that we've ever seen.
I think Dennis Bergkamp was the obvious football comparison there, and it's been made several times with the Richie Hogan goal at the weekend. Like, I'd be interested as well in like knowing if this is a trend or is it just winter hurling where sometimes the inside forwards can get a little bit detached from play, where people are taking their scores from long range, and for an inside forward to just pop up with that moment of genius after perhaps not being around the game for too long beforehand and immediately announcing yourself in the game with that sort of finish is just incredible. And I know it probably pertains a little bit more to TJ Reid in the context of Kilkenny, but the Richie Hogan story after what happened in the All-Ireland last year, that would be a great comeback story if Kilkenny do the business this year.
Yeah, I think, I mean, the fact that he has come back and has come off the bench and made such an impact already, that's testimony to, like, because I know his back injuries have been so significant that there's, like, perpetual treatment. It was one of the Kilkenny hurlers we used to have an hour and a half physio to be able to train and, like, wouldn't miss training sessions. I'm trying to remember which one it actually ended up being. But, like, the level of dedication that they're going through because they believe in what they're trying to achieve and because the level of success that they've had over the years has rewarded the level of dedication. You know, sometimes we kind of forget about that. And it's like you see them play and they're a little bit below their absolute peak, but they're still some of the best hurlers that have ever played the game. And so therefore, the fact that they can get out there and achieve is still fairly worthwhile doing.
For sure. We want Limerick versus Kilkenny in the hurling final, don't we? Like that's what the people want. The sort of rematch after the 2019 Classic when we were all shocked by how Kilkenny tore into Limerick on that occasion and how good Limerick had been this year. The revenge mission, like there's so many different storylines that would go into that. I think we want the provincial champions to now make it to the All-Ireland final.
Yeah, I mean, we need to see that that replay from last year. At the same time, at this point, do you care who's left?
Yeah, of course you do. You want to see the best matchups possible. Like you look at this weekend, for example, like Galway Tipa is a game that in the back door has produced some ridiculous moments.
So would you not like to see Tip Kilkenny again?
No, I want to see Limerick. Limerick Kilkenny is the match I want to see this year. That is the one matchup I want to see more than any other. And the only way it's going to happen is in an All-Ireland final at this juncture. So no, Limerick Kilkenny is the game everybody wants to see, in my view. It was it wasn't the best game of the hurling championship last year. I would say maybe Tip Wexford was the best game of the hurling championship last year. I think it was just the manner in which it happened, the hype around this Limerick team. Like, we heard from Kieran Carey a few weeks ago saying that this could be like the Dubs of hurling, where Limerick could go on and be like a dynasty in a little while. And for them to get taken down in that manner by Kilkenny last year was extraordinary. So I want to see it again.
Okay, let's go back. We've got Tommy Walsh on the phone with us this morning. Tommy, the technology's letting us down, not to worry. We were talking about the class of 08, and you were reeling off the various individual achievements that they've had, and the fact that so many of them are top scorers in hurling championship history. The fact that they're all still going at that age is something that we shouldn't take for granted, was a point I was making while you were away there.
Yeah, and like, they're all 32 years of age. TJ Reid was 33 during the week, Ger. Like, I suppose the last maybe 10 years or 15 years, when a lad gets to 30, you're nearly starting to call it a day for him. But no one even mentions it for these five guys. They've been absolutely wonderful. And I suppose what really hits home to me is that they're kind of universally respected and admired. Like, Seamus Callanan would have his admirers in Kilkenny and Cork, Patrick Horgan, Galway and Wexford. Like, these lads are loved everywhere. Like, they're around a long, long time, and it doesn't look like it's going to end anytime soon. Like, you look at Patrick Horgan, I think the whole country would love to see Ger if he could win an All-Ireland. Like, if that happened, I'd say it'd be like maybe Mayo winning All-Ireland in the football. I think the whole country would be absolutely delighted for that man. Like, TJ Reid, like, what he has done for Kilkenny after the great team finished up, like, nearly on his own. He was winning matches, and not just kind of on the scoring charts, but also, you know, hooking and blocking, brought that side of his game to a new level. Like, Joe Canning, the whole country was delighted when he scored that amazing point when the pressure was all on Joe in the All-Ireland semi-final in 2017. Got Galway to the All-Ireland and then finally landed the Holy Grail. So it's year after year, like, since 08, it's amazing. There's only been two All-Irelands where any of these guys haven't won it. And like, that's it. That tells its own story. And in 2013, when Clare beat Cork, Patrick Horgan actually scored a winning point that day. Time up until Donal O'Donovan came along and, scored the equalising one for Clare, you know, well into injury time. And the other time that they didn't win it was 2018, when Limerick won it. And we all remember Joe Canning, you know, nearly brought him back into that final and won it for him the last couple of minutes, and had that chance from 130 yards, but, you know, the no normal human being would score it. But, they've had a massive impact on the country. And I suppose Joe and Seamus Callanan, one of them will be only left in the championship Saturday evening.
Yeah, it is a bit mad, isn't it? I'll ask you about that game specifically. I do want to just talk a little bit more about Richie Hogan's goal. Henry Shefflin compared it to Dennis Bergkamp. It felt Messi-esque. It felt like street ball. It felt like he was a kid as opposed to, you know, a grown-up. It just felt like, this is something that I'm going to try something a bit mad here, but I know it's going to come off because I've done this before.
Yeah, I tell you what it is. It comes from hurling since you're probably 4 or 5 years of age, or whatever sport that you're playing. You pick up all these little tricks, these little nuances as you go along. Like, I don't know, did any of you remember the film Slumdog Millionaire?
Yeah.
When the guy was up and every question he was asked, it just went back to a part of his past and he was able to answer. Not because he was a genius, but because he nearly experienced every one of those questions. Well, I would definitely say that was the story of Richie Hogan. Like, I thought, Henry Shefflin explained it lovely. So when the ball was there in front of him, the goalie was coming out, right? So if he scooped the ball like normal, the ball had just come up and wouldn't go anywhere. So he had to put in his hurl and he had to flick his wrist, like, as he kind of explained it, like Dennis Bergkamp, and something similar. So he had to flick around the wrist so that as the ball came up, right, it would roll along the boss, but the heel of the boss then would turn the ball to go right in towards the goal. So that went in there. The next piece of magic, what had to happen, does he pick it up now and then he gets bundled up? No, he had to wear it all. And this is all in milliseconds to tip it up. No, I'm going to get hooked, blocked here and just flick it in. So it just comes from all the experience that he was hurling since 4 years of age, that he picks up all these little tricks and that. And in that moment when he needed all of them to, all the decisions need to be made in probably 1 second, it just happens. It's hard to explain it. It's like when a high ball is coming. It's hard to coach it, like, Ger. You can coach a guy go up and catch a ball, but you can't coach him how to do everything there, shielding off your man, make sure the ball is landed in your hand properly, that your hand falls like a glove, and you catch it with your fingers. There's so many different things to all these different skills that, yes, absolutely, he learned that from being in his back garden since he was 4 years of age. And even you go to Seamus Callanan's goal last year, Ger. Remember the one against Wexford in the All-Ireland semi-final where he pulled on the ball and kind of rifled the net? Well, he had so many decisions there to make as well. Does he pick it up, then he's the fear of getting hooked? Does he go in and the goalie can stop it? No. Listen, I've been doing this, and if you watch that goal last year, he waited and waited until the bounce came up lovely, and then let's fly and the ball hit the net. So these guys, they're geniuses that the normal guys like myself and yourself won't, you know, make them decisions. But these guys do. They're born with an unbelievable talent and then a work ethic and experience to go along with it.
Well, let's talk about the specifics of the game then. Galway against Tip. Like, how do you even begin to measure where these two teams are against each other? Tip have a slight advantage in that they've had a game to recover from their defeat. Galway don't have that, but actually, you know, they had Kilkenny on the rack for a long time, and that game, it was a wild game in wild conditions. So do they take comfort from that, or are they concerned about what happened? I can't tell how they're going to respond.
I think Tip's issue is form, I think. Now, if you look at the two games they've played in, there were two monsoons, both against Cork and against Limerick. It doesn't suit the type of hurlers they have. They're all ball-playing hurlers. Even in their defenders are the very same, the Rona Mars and the Parag Mars. These are all guys that love just playing around with the ball, can do magic things with the ball. So it depends on the weather, first of all, Saturday. The second thing is their form. There's a lot of them just not in the right form. We've seen last weekend, characters, the explanation I would have on their victory last weekend. Liam Sheedy driving them on from the sideline. Shades of what happened in the All-Ireland semi-final last year against Wexford. Looked like the game was going away from them. Dug in, and suddenly they just win the game. And I thought it was the very same last weekend. They thought Cork were going to pip them with 10 or 15 minutes to go. But they dug in, and suddenly a goal chance came. Jake Morris took it. Seamus Callanan scored a couple of points. So I think form is, they're just not in form at the moment, but it's their character is getting them through them games. So they need to pick up that form very quickly. Galway, on the other hand, Ger, it's a dangerous one for them because they played really well last weekend and lost. And sometimes, you know, lads will be clapping them on the back, telling them they were great, they were this and they were that. But they need to get the grit between their teeth on Saturday. And they need to forget about playing well last weekend. They need to forget about the disappointment of losing a game, you know, that they felt probably they should have won. And just, this is their last chance saloon now to get to the All-Ireland semi-final. And it's all about mindset at this stage for Saturday.
Saturday, just looking at the weather forecast, a couple of showers, but not the monsoon conditions we've seen. So that probably will actually, that might suit Tipperary a bit more.
Yeah, well, it's in the Gaelic rounds though, Ger. And like outside of Portaquive and Crow Park, you know, Thurles, in fairness, was in good nick. But the other two pitches, they're kind of all weather pitches nearly at this stage. There's so much investment and so much care gone into them. You know, they were able to do that over the last year or two. But every other ground, the conditions are going to be wintry conditions, and it doesn't really matter whether it's going to be raining or sunny on Saturday. It's going to be heavy-legged. So it's going to be a physical game, because even if it's not, there's probably going to be a massive wind. I always felt, come around September, October, outside of Crow Park, wind is huge. It's a huge factor in the game. Like, you look at last weekend when Clare played Wexford, they sail into a 9 or a 10 point lead, and that's what gave them the confidence, the drive, and probably maybe put a bit of panic into the Wexford guys. But the same thing could happen this Saturday. Wind is an enormous factor in it. I think in my mind, Galway will be the favourites. They just need to go for the juggler, Joe. When they won the All-Ireland in 2017, they didn't score any goals, as far as I can remember, and won it. But to win this All-Ireland, they're not going to need to score goals. They had one or two goal chances last weekend. But to beat Tipperary, it's either going to need to score goals. Like, they need to go for it, though. I don't even see the one goal chance, as far as I can remember last weekend. Jason Flynn, possibly another one where Hugh Lawler pulled them back. So, but you know, you need to be nearly creating five or six goal chances to score two or three, Joe.
All right, so that's Galway Tip, 1:15 at the Gaelic Grounds on Saturday. What about Waterford and Clare? You said that they both would have been pretty happy with that draw. I can see why they both be pretty happy with the draw. Again, the leap forward that Waterford have made this season has been very impressive. But Clare have that bounce, that winning a couple of games in a row, a couple of weeks in a row. We've seen in the football qualifiers the benefit of that in the past.
Yeah, absolutely. Once you get on a bit of a roll, it kind of takes you week to week, especially in the format it is now. There's no 2 or 3 week break there. I said before the last game, every game that Clare win at this stage is a bonus. I just feel to win matches, you need your best players, and they're missing too many of them. Missing, you know, Colm Galvin, all we know everyone they're missing. 4 or 5, Podge Collins, John Conlon, Peter Duggan, there's a load of them, DC. You can string them out. They're all their best players and they're missing them all. And it's amazing what they're doing and the victory that they had last weekend. So I think myself, you know, I think it's Watford's day this Saturday. Tony Kelly, I know he's been in wonderful, wonderful form. And for him to play well, there's guys like, you know, Shane O'Donnell, and they have to pass him off the ball. So they're rolling in right behind them. But, you know, I don't expect Clare to win this weekend. I think it's going to be Watford's day. They're in great form. Like, they've a rock solid half back line. Kevin Moran, who has been playing for the last 12 or 13 years, I thought he was looking like a young lad last weekend. Tadhg Na Bhfirce, we wondered about him, like whether he was a sweeper under the Derek McGrath regime. But, you know, the question was, would he be any good in a normal six, you know, where he has to mark a man and go around winning the ball? And he's answered that question in spades. He's brilliant in the air, he's brilliant at reading the game, and he's kind of an inspiration to the, you know, the team and the supporters, because he seems like a quiet kind of a lad, but gives it his heart. Like, if you see him giving away a free or losing the ball, he sprints back into his position, and just a wonderful player to watch. Up front then, you have Stephen Bennett in great form. So I think Watford have a great chance Saturday.
You mentioned Shane O'Donnell there, Tommy. He was brilliant at the weekend, and the way he set up that Tony Kelly goal, dropping deep and being the playmaker, so to speak. How difficult is it at the moment being an inside forward? It almost seems like you have to be unbelievably patient and wait for your one or two opportunities to score a goal. Or you can do what Shane O'Donnell is doing and play a little bit deeper.
Yeah, it depends on your the structure of your team. So if you look at the way, we'll say, Galway, Kilkenny, Limerick are playing the kind of two inside, and they do try and get a long ball into them when the chance arises. So it would be nice to play in a full forward line like that, Owen, because usually when the ball comes in, it is 1v1. And it's you're making runs, so usually you have an advantage because the lads aren't just lumping it in, we'll say, like, you know, the game plans of maybe 10 years ago. Nowadays, half back line, a midfielder, or even a half forward, when they get the ball, their first instinct is to look up. The boys are making these runs. I'm not sure if you've seen the runs that Richie Hogan and TJ Reid made for TJ's goal last weekend, but it showed the 5 seconds before that. It's a training manual for every inside forward in the country, but dependent on the half back line or midfield not lumping it into you, they have to look up, because otherwise they can make you look like a fool. You're making a lovely run and just lump it in, and that your opponent goes out and wins the ball. So I think it depends on the formation that you're playing in on. So if you're playing in the forward line that is moving and that, it's a lovely place to play. But Shane O'Donnell, so he's coming out the field. But I think their game plan really is getting the ball to Tony, because listen, when that's your strength and that's the form he's in, let's just do this. But Shane O'Donnell anyway, he was never a guy that really took on his own scores. And that's the one thing I would like to have seen more of him over the years, is that go for your own scores. Like, you score 3 goals in an All-Ireland final, don't just settle for, you know, 5 assists in a game. You can do both. So I would like to see, you know, I would like to see Shane, even though he's a wonderful team player, and Richie Power for Kilkenny was the very same. But I would love to see him, you know, maybe getting a few of the headlines himself by going for his own scores.
Yeah, I always thought Richie Power was vastly underrated. I've one quick question about the situation in Wexford. Obviously, Davey is staying for another year. Is that the right thing for both of them at this stage, to see it out and to try and get back to the level they were at last year? Because they didn't get anywhere close. A really disappointing season for them. Really disappointing lack of progress from a team that were within inches of knocking Tipperary out last year.
Yeah, well, I don't think they could leave it like that, Ger. Like, listen, you know, and everyone knows, I wouldn't agree with the tactics, obviously. Never have since they came on stream there a couple of years ago. Just don't believe in him or anything like that. But we have to look at what he has done for Wexford. And he cannot leave it like that. Because, like, you see the crowd that were coming to the Wexford games, the young lads, like, if you watch any of the social media sites, you know, I'm into the underage coaching and that, but there's huge underage coaching going on in Wexford. Young lads out with hurls and balls. When you're driving down through Wexford, the young lads are out with the hurls and balls. The impact, that impact that he is on for, that Davey is on Wexford, is huge for the future of Wexford. You look at the crowd that was at last year's All-Ireland semi-final against Tipperary, the crowd that was at last year's Leinster final. Like, it's a long time since we've seen scenes like that after a Leinster final. You know, Lee Chin and Matthew O'Hanlon up lifting the cup to the roars and the cheers of the crowd. The first Leinster final they're in was 2017, I'd say, with Davey against Galway. Was there 60 or 70,000 at a Leinster final? So we have to look at both sides of it. Yes, the tactics will need to be looked at, but the general impact he has had on him, I just think it would have been unjust for him to finish like that. if you go back and look at, we played a county final, the intermediate county final in 2019, and we were beaten, and we, you know, the parish was devastated, and our management team had been, you know, there with us 4 or 5 years at that stage. Do you switch it up now, or do you go for another crack at? And the whole parish went for another crack at. Let everyone go back and do it again. And then we got the glory of being waiting for 30, 40, 50 years. Persistence. You wait around. You don't give up. So, yes, I think it's the only move that could have happened. But, listen, next year you would be looking at maybe, they'll have to look at, the way they're playing. It seems to be a running game. Probably didn't suit this time of year, but we'll definitely have to be looked at.
Don't miss a second of the action. Subscribe now to the OTB AM podcast to get it every weekday morning in your podcast feed from 10 a.m.